Good morning. How are we doing this morning? Are we warm this morning? That seemed very unfair this last week. You know, hitting up, you know, like mid-70s for 2 or 3 days in a row, and then this. On the bright side, my parents and I was seeing friends sending me pictures of all the snow they were getting. And the rest of Indiana is like, yes, that's not me yet. All right, let us go ahead and begin this morning. Hear some words of centering, and I'll invite you to join in the call to worship. New life comes through change. A new beginning is always near. Embrace the changes that God is bringing. God will create a new heaven and a new earth. God rejoices over Jerusalem and takes delight in God's people. Before we call out, God will answer. While we are still speaking, God will hear. They will neither harm nor destroy on all God's holy mountain. Let us pray. There's no place to turn, O God, for the comfort we desire. No place but to you alone, O Lord. Bless us this day that we might be a blessing to others. Bless us this day that we might be faithful witnesses to life in Christ Jesus, our Redeemer and Lord. In our songs and prayers, in our scriptures and spoken words, reveal your purposes through the power of your Holy Spirit. We are here, O Lord. Equip us for ministry with a faith and assurance only you can provide. Amen.
Good morning, everyone, and welcome to worship service on this beautiful, cold fall day. I think we are going to have to start digging out our winter clothes now. And welcome, veterans, to our service today. We celebrated Veterans Day Friday, and I hope you had an opportunity to at least think of a veteran, thank a veteran, or participate in a service for veterans.
Good morning, everybody. Okay, we'll have our opening scripture, which is Psalm 98. Sing to the Lord a new song, because he has done wonderful things. His own strong hand and his own holy arm have won the victory. The Lord has made his salvation widely known. He has revealed his righteousness in the eyes of all nations. God has remembered his loyal love and faithfulness to the house of Israel. Every corner of the earth has seen our God's salvation. Shout triumphantly to the Lord, all the earth. Be happy. Rejoice out loud. Sing your praises. Sing your praises to the Lord with the lyre and the sound of music, with trumpets and a horn blast. Shout triumphantly before the Lord, the King. Let the sea and everything in it roar, the world and all its inhabitants too. Let the rivers clap our hands. Let the mountains rejoice out loud together before the Lord, because he is coming to establish justice on the earth. He will establish justice in the world rightly. He will establish justice among people fairly. Thank you, Lord, for everyone that could make it today out in the cold. Please be with the ones who could not make it at home, staying where it's warm. Lord, be with Christy and her doctors and the medical team as she has her back surgery on Tuesday. We pray that all goes well and she'll be back with us soon. Lord, be with the leaders of our country as the elections are over. Be with them as they continue to lead our country, that they make good and sound decisions. Be with Don and Connie and Leon, our church and our leaders. Be with Ben as he gives us a message today, that we take it in and we listen and we learn and we can spread the news that he is giving us through God. Amen. If anyone wants to join me with the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, as we forgive our trespasses. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen.
Okay, at this time, we are going to honor our veterans. And first of all, I want to thank Dorothy and Laverne for putting the flags all out around on our church. And also, the bouquet on our altar is in honor of our veterans. In the past 2 weeks, I've had the opportunity and privilege to take a short course at WALA, which is at Wabash Area Lifelong Learning Association, on the classes to learn more about the USS Indianapolis, the sinking of the ship in World War II in the Pacific Theater. And, you know, that really upped my appreciation for our veterans and what they went through in their service to our country. So at this time, we will honor our own veterans who are here, and we are going to have the United States song, all the military forces represented. And would you please stand, if you can, when your song is played? Now, I think in the future we may have to add a new one, the United States Space Force song. I have not heard that yet, and we probably may not have that many veterans, but I'm sure they'll be coming along in the years to come. So at this time, we honor our veterans.
Let us pray. God, we give you thanks for those that you have called to come alongside and help protect this nation and protect us and give us the opportunities that we have to be able to gather as a family in order to worship you. For those in our lives that have served, we give you thanks. For those that have given up so much of their lives, have gone through the unimaginable so that we might not here at home, we give you thanks. And for those who we mourn, who we have lost in the midst of service, Lord, we give you thanks. Thank you for these veterans. Thank you for those that you are calling to help protect our nation and protect us here at home. Be with all of our current military. Grant them safety. And let them know that they too are loved. In your name we pray. Amen. We come now to a time in our service where we have the opportunity to give back to God a portion of that which God has already given to us. So as the ushers come forward to gather this morning's offerings, let this be a time where we say thank you to the Lord. Eternal God, we draw life in your presence. You have created and sustained us to meet the challenges we face each day. May the gifts and offerings we bring before you reflect the light of Christ that shines in our lives, a light that can heal the world. In our living and in our giving, help us act in concert with your ways, that the world might see in us the power of your Spirit. Amen. Today's scripture reading comes from the 21st chapter of the Gospel of Luke, verses 5 through 19. And for context, Jesus and his disciples just arrived into Jerusalem. Some people were talking about the temple, how it was decorated with beautiful stones and ornaments dedicated to God. Jesus said, "As for the things you are admiring, the time is coming when not even one stone will be left upon another. All will be demolished." They asked him, "Teacher, when will these things happen? What sign will show that these things are about to happen? Jesus said, "Watch out that you aren't deceived. Many will come in my name, saying, 'I'm the one,' and 'It's me.' Don't follow them. When you hear of wars and rebellions, don't be alarmed. These things must happen first, but the end won't happen immediately." Then Jesus said to them, "Nations and kingdoms will fight against each other. There will be great earthquakes and wide-scale food shortages and epidemics. There will also be terrifying sights and great signs in the sky. But before all this occurs, they will take you into custody and harass you because of your faith. They will hand you over to synagogues and prisons, and you will be brought before kings and governors because of my name. This will provide you with an opportunity to testify. Make up your minds not to prepare your defense in advance. I'll give you words and wisdom that none of your opponents will be able to counter or contradict. You will be betrayed by your parents, brothers and sisters, relatives and friends. They'll execute some of you. Everyone will hate you because of my name. Still, not a hair on your heads will be lost. By holding fast, you will gain your lives." This is the word of our Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning thankful for this opportunity that we have to gather together to lift up your name in prayer and praise and to hear these words from Scripture read aloud. May our hearts and minds be willing and able to receive that which your Spirit has for us to hear this day. May the words from my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable to you in your sight. For you, Lord, are our rock and our Redeemer, now and forever. Amen. Well, you don't have to worry this week because I don't have a silly song to try to get you all to sing along with me. I figure 2 weeks in a row is 2 weeks too many, but you know, there you have it. I will, however, share with you what I am assuming to have been a common experience amongst all of us. Now, I'm fairly certain that this has been most everyone at some point in our lives when and we've gone to visit a new place, especially if we grew up in a more rural area, and then we go perhaps on a trip or a vacation or for business, but we go into the big city. You know that feeling of you just looking up at the skyscrapers as you're driving in between these massive buildings and wishing you didn't have a roof over your head on the car so you could actually see the top of said buildings you're going through? Now, seriously, there's no judgment here because I've been that way more often than I care to admit. Going into even Indianapolis, I know some people are like, Indy, that's not a big city. It is to many of us. But even going down through Indy, you know, I have to admit, between the monuments and the tall buildings there, my mouth has been gaping open. The handful of times I've been in London, I always found myself surprised at just how big it truly is. I know that like here, when you say, "I'm just going to head across town," it takes all of what, 2 minutes? I mean, I can be from one side of West Lafayette to the other side of Lafayette in 20 minutes. That's not a big deal at all. But to hit up the tourist sites in London, even taking the underground train there, you're looking at least like 45 minutes to an hour, depending on where you're trying to head up, depending on where you're trying to get to. Whether it be Buckingham Palace, the British Museum, Piccadilly Circus. Needless to say, I got my steps in those days. But that's just it. It's hard not to gawk at these tall buildings that seem to go on and on in these massive cities, whether it be London or Chicago or New York or even Indy. And try as you might, you're going to get lumped in with those that are wearing those baggy cargo shorts, those loud, colorful Hawaiian shirts that were actually made in China, and with the cameras hanging around their necks they forget is actually there because they're too busy doing what? Gawking up at the buildings. They're called tourists. Tourists are pretty easy to spot as they stick out like a sore thumb against the backdrop of a city that obvious of individuals that obviously know where they're going. And they're going wherever they might be going with purpose. And those who are native to those cities, they're no longer enamored by the tall buildings that they're going in and out of. But the tourists, who? Remember my second and third time going to England, I tried my best not to look like one of those tourists. Perhaps one of my favorite pictures from my second trip over to the UK. There's 3 days spent down in Paris where we took the tunnel underneath, and I took a picture of my two friends looking over a map with the, you know, the telltale, you know, satchel right here, you know, obviously screaming, "We're not from around here." Try as it might, though, it's not hard to stick out as you find the frequent things that are new to you and make you stop and wonder, and everyone around you knows what's going on in your head. Well, the same thing is being described in this morning's scripture passage with the disciples when it opens up. And their tourist mindset in the midst of Jerusalem is evident to Jesus. He knows what's going through their heads. He sees the wonder in their eyes as they stand there wide-eyed, taking it all in, especially the architecture of this big city, especially the architecture of the temple. Now, to be fair, the temple that they were admiring was indeed something to be admired. A lot of artistry and craftwork had gone into the building, and after all, it was built to bring God glory. So the design was such that it was this kind of reaction that they were hoping for, that the architects were hoping for. And the whole bringing God glory thing, which has some bearing to it, hence the credo, only the best is worthy of the one we worship above all. So yes, the temple was a building that was worth admiring. Now to us today, it might not seem that big of a deal, so we'd have to look over to other structures like Salisbury Cathedral in Salisbury, England, or Westminster Abbey in London, or Notre Dame Cathedral in Paris for us today. But at the time, the temple, oh, that was where it was at. It was worth giving God glory for the accomplishments represented in this amazing structure. But here's the thing. Jesus didn't come to Jerusalem with the camera slung around his neck expecting to go all tourist mode. Jesus didn't show up to Jerusalem with a map trying to find which street he was on just to realize the map was upside down to begin with. Jesus didn't have time for the touristy stuff. And he brings his disciples back down to earth with a sharp word and a threatening scenario. It was almost like a slap across the face of the ones who are lost in wonder. It almost leaves one to wonder if this wasn't a little harsh on the part of Jesus, which maybe it was harsh, but at the same time, it might also have been necessary. After all, Jesus came to Jerusalem with a purpose. Jesus had set his face towards Jerusalem. Jesus knew what was awaiting him. He knew that his days in ministry were numbered. He knew his days were numbered. He knew what going to Jerusalem was going to be about. So no, he did not go to Jerusalem to gawk, to be in awe, to sightsee. He came with a purpose. We're in the final countdown at this point in time. There's no more road to really travel at this point. And this teaching in the temple is the straw that breaks the temple leader camel's backs. The clock is ticking on this mission to earth, and Jesus knows it. And he needs the disciples to know it and to stay on track themselves. There's a point in the first Star Wars movie, because yes, I got to go there. There's a point in the first Star Wars movie where Luke Skywalker and other X-Wing pilots are beginning to go down this trench in this massive space station known as the Death Star, and they're getting closer and closer to their target, to this exhaust port to shoot some torpedoes down into to blow up the whole space station because, you know, you got to have that kind of a MacGuffin in the movie. But as they're in the trench being shot at by enemy turrets, you hear the mission control from the rebel command telling the pilots to stay on target. Stay on target. Stay on target. This is what Jesus is telling his disciples. Stay on target. Focus on what you need to be focusing on. Movie references aside, Jesus needs to prepare the disciples for what is about to come. He wants to shore them up for the maelstrom that is about to descend upon them. Now, we can debate whether Jesus' words here are predicting future events or whether these are words are describing their immediate future. But what does seem clear is that Jesus wanted to prepare his followers to stand firm when the world is falling apart all around them. The final verse of our text from the NRSV translation says, "By your endurance, you'll gain souls." Because remember, we just went through literally an apocalyptic scenario that Jesus just talked about. And then this segment ends, this teaching ends in the NRSV translation by saying, "By your endurance, you will gain souls." So the NRSV version reads as though keeping a cool head when everyone else is freaking out and panicking will win adherence to the faith. But here's a funny thing about translations. Depending on the translation you're reading, it can have a different perspective. From the New Revised Standard Version now to the New International Version, it says something similar by declaring that you should stand firm and you will win life. But is that really similar? Because the NIV seems to bring in this element of self-preservation. So which is it? Self-preservation or getting people to come to the faith? In the midst of all the chaos, the CEB, the Common English Bible, what we read from this morning, seems to make it clearer when it comes to that theory. By holding fast, you will gain your lives. Your second person, but plural. Lives, obviously, very much plural. This seems to bring us to yet one more question. What is Jesus' focus here on, then? Is he telling his followers how to take care of themselves or how to witness to the world? Which is it that this text is trying to tell us? Of course, we could say both. They need not be mutually exclusive. One doesn't negate the possibility of the other. But remember, Jesus came to Jerusalem at the end of his ministry for a purpose, for a reason. Jesus literally knew he wasn't getting out of Jerusalem alive by the end of the week. On the brink of his own suffering and death, does it seem likely that Jesus would be telling his followers, whom he has been telling this whole 3-year period of time that they've been following him, "Follow my example, follow my lead, do as I do and say"? Does it make sense that on the brink of his own suffering and death, that he would tell his followers how to preserve their own lives? I mean, maybe he is. Maybe that's what this faith is about, saving your own life. But it seems much more likely that the followers are called to live a sacrificial witness of faith. That even in the face of devastation and destruction, followers are able to hold on to faith, not for self-preservation or the promise of a life free from suffering, not for those things, but instead for the hope that life is always bigger than what people can see, and that love is always worth living for and dying for. That right there, that kind of love, that kind of life, that is the edifice that is truly awe-inspiring in the story. Jesus sees these wide-eyed disciples taking in the architectural wonders of Jerusalem, the architectural wonder of their day and age in the temple. And Jesus sees all their focus on that. And what Jesus is doing is he's saying, you see that temple right there that is devoted, that is built for God, for the worship of God? Well, so many of us tend to miss the reason behind it for the building itself, the reason behind it for the practice itself. There will come a day where that building will be no more, but a life that has been transformed by God's love, no one's going to topple that over. We are not called to be in awe of the created beauty of our hands, but rather the willingness to live a life of love and transformation, even in the face of opposition and conflict. Structures and systems and empires, they'll rise and they'll fall. Of that we know, of that we can be sure. But a life transformed by God's love, that's eternal. So may we be a people who keep in perspective that in which we should truly be focused upon and allow our attention to be taken by that which truly deserves it. Not by building. Let us focus on the love of God every step of the way. Let us pray. God, we come before you this morning, and sometimes we got to admit we make idols. We make idols out of practices. We make idols out of buildings. We make idols out of things and systems and governments. And at the end of the day, though, what we're seeing here is that your Son is reminding us all of that will fall. There will come a day when that will be no more. But your life, transformed by God's love, that will go on. Help us in the midst of our strife. Help us in the midst of things just being crazy, of opposition, of conflict. Help us realize that our focus should be on you every step of the way. Our focus should be on a life filled with love, knowing your love and practicing your love with those that we come across. Help us to be in awe of that kind of life. Let that be our focus that takes our breath away. Lord, we love you and we trust you, and it's in your name that we pray. Amen. Until we meet again, my friends, may the road rise up to meet you, the wind be always at your back, the rains fall soft upon your fields, and the sun shine warm upon your face. Until we meet again, my friends.